It's not quite in the league of Enron and WorldCom, but as corporate scandals in Alabama go, this one is a whopper. In Birmingham, 11 corporate executives have pleaded guilty to cooking the books at a large hospital chain called HealthSouth. The company allegedly reported more than $2 billion of profits it never made. Federal investigators say the fraud went on for close to 20 years, and they say at least a dozen people knew about it, but no one talked.
One man at the center of it all insists he was kept in the dark. HealthSouth's charismatic founder and former CEO Richard Scrushy says he was duped by his deputies, but his former chief financial officers say he masterminded the fraud. No criminal charges have been filed against Scrushy. From Birmingham, NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports.
He's been called Birmingham's Donald Trump, a self-made man whose ostentatious lifestyle and penchant for self-promotion aroused envy, admiration, and contempt. 50-year-old Richard Scrushy has mansions, boats, bodyguards, even a country music band. Lynn Kenny was Scrushy's personal photographer for a decade and road manager for the band Dallas County Line. Scrushy was the lead singer.
Let me tell you about my plan. Had to get out or I'll be damned. And when I dreamed a rich man's dream. Dream of pretty girls and big fast cars.
Richard is a Harley man. He's got on black jeans.
Kenny's describing a photo he took of Scrushy on stage.
A Harley shirt with the sleeves cut out of it, his arms are crossed in a very big, thick, nice, not gaudy, please don't think it's gaudy, leather belt and belt buckle, and he looks very good. And his cowboy hat. Yeah, you don't see many CEOs wearing a cowboy hat.
And my mind starts a rich man's dream.
Not many CEOs have as many buildings named after them either as Richard Scrushy does.
We have the Richard M. Scrushy Building at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. We have Richard M. Scrushy Library in Vestavia Hills.
Columnist Elaine Witt of the Birmingham Post-Herald is giving us the Scrushy tour.
We have the Richard M. Scrushy campus of Jefferson State Community College. We have Scrushy Stripling Field, which is a ball field at Birmingham Southern College. We have Richard M. Scrushy Parkway.
You get the picture. They're brick and mortar monuments to Scrushy's rise, from gas station attendant to CEO of a Fortune 500 company. But if the 11 HealthSouth executives who've pled guilty to fraud are to be believed, these and other monuments to Scrushy were built on a lie and with money stolen from HealthSouth's shareholders. Former U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, Doug Jones, represents shareholders in a lawsuit against the company.
For years and years and years, HealthSouth had been, in effect, cooking their books, inflating their earnings so that the stock continued to rise.
HealthSouth executives, including Scrushy, made millions of dollars selling their stock at those inflated prices. In Birmingham, they call it the pig problem. They say Scrushy just got too greedy.
Somehow or another, over time, something went amok here.
Brian Marsal is sitting in the gleaming HealthSouth headquarters just outside Birmingham. He's a senior partner at the restructuring firm Alvarez & Marsal. The firm is trying to untangle HealthSouth's finances.
You've got massive fraud, which a large number of people participated in. I've never seen the number of people involved in the fraud, the level of the fraud, the number of accounting entries that took place, how they were able to keep this a secret for this long is really amazing to me.
Scrushy says he didn't know about it. A jury may ultimately have to decide how those claims of innocence square with Scrushy's hands-on management style. We're sheltered from the rainstorm on Lynn Kenny's front porch. As Scrushy's personal photographer, Kenny was in and out of HealthSouth and Scrushy's home a lot. He recalls the Monday morning meetings Scrushy held with his executives.
First thing every Monday morning. Absolutely. Nothing got done until after that meeting, and it'd usually go to lunchtime.
So 8 o'clock in the morning?
7 o'clock in the morning. Richard was up at 4 or 5 every morning. He worked out and then went into corporate by 6 o'clock, and then everybody was there.
Former HealthSouth administrative assistant Ruth McCullough's boss attended the meetings and told her about them. We met in McCullough's lawyer's office. She's part of a pension-related class action suit against the company.
Each person would stand up with their weekly report and give their weekly report directed to Richard. And he sat at the front of the room, and they would have to tell everything that they did the week before and everything that they were going to do the next week.
Photographer Kenny says he learned to stay away from Scrooge on Mondays.
If everything's on target and everything's going good, I mean, you know, hey, it's a great day to be around. He's in a good mood. But if you got a department head that's not doing their job, he'd chew you up, and you know you need to get up and perform better.
In court filings, all five men who've been chief financial officers of HealthSouth since it went public in the mid-1980s tell much the same story of how the fraud was perpetrated. They say that each quarter, shortly before HealthSouth announced its earnings, the chief financial officer would go to HealthSouth's CEO and tell him what the company had actually earned. The CEO would pick a higher earnings number, sometimes in collaboration with the CFO. That number was chosen to be in line with what Wall Street analysts were expecting. The CEO, of course, was Richard Scrooge. Because he hasn't been charged with a crime, he's not identified by name in the court papers. But shareholder attorney Doug Jones says there's no question that, according to his former chief financial officers, Richard Scrooge knew about the fraud.
In one of the guilty pleas recently, the judge that was taking the guilty plea asked some very specific questions. You know, who did you talk to? Did you have any conversations with Mr. Scrooge? And the answer was yes.
I think by the time this trial is over with, it's going to be demonstrated that these stories make no sense.
Thomas Schoblum is a partner in the law firm of Chadburn and Park and a member of Richard Scrooge's defense team. He says Scrooge didn't know that the earnings numbers were fixed, and Scrooge certainly didn't play a role in fixing them. We spoke in Schoblum's Washington, D.C. office.
I think these guilty pleas are filled with inconsistencies, inaccuracies, overstatements, and are not consistent with the true facts as they're going to be revealed.
On March 18, just before it raided HealthSouth's headquarters, the FBI secretly recorded a conversation between then-CFO Bill Owens and Richard Scrooge. Owens, who has since pled guilty to fraud, was wearing the hidden tape recorder. A portion of the recording has been made public. In it, Owens is heard telling Scrooge that his wife is worried that he, Owens, would end up in jail if he keeps signing what she calls the phony financial statements. Scrooge responds.
I think what your wife is telling you is right.
Scrooge says. But he urges Owens to sign the statements anyway, saying that Owens can, quote, go quarter to quarter and fix everything you want to fix.
You're a bright guy.
You're a bright guy, Scrooge says.
You ought to be able to engineer your way out of what you've engineered your way into. Does that make sense?
You ought to be able to engineer your way out of what you engineered your way into. Does that make sense? I don't know how, I mean, but I think your mind's not clear. Earlier this month, in a hearing on whether to extend a freeze on Scrooge's assets, a federal judge said the meaning of this tape recording was ambiguous at best. She said the Securities and Exchange Commission hadn't established that Richard Scrooge had any connection with the accounting fraud. And she gave Scrooge full access to his assets, estimated at $150 million. It was a big victory for Richard Scrooge. HealthSouth's new managers, however, don't want anything more to do with Richard Scrooge. They fired him on March 31st. They say they know facts about Scrooge that the public doesn't.
Where were the statues? Maybe they were out here. We have to look for a place that looks like it had statues on it.
Scrooge's legacy is being taken apart outside HealthSouth headquarters as well. Columnist Elaine Witt tells us there used to be a statue of Scrooge and two other men here at this new-looking building called the American Sports Medicine Institute. But the statues are gone.
You can see the bolts and the footprints where three statues used to be, because you've got the shape of the men's shoes sort of left in a powdery residue on top of the marble, or granite. It looks like granite, actually.
One night, soon after the scandal broke, someone spray-painted the word thief on Scrooge's statue.
And then there was a disc jockey that was telling people that they should come take it down the way that Saddam Hussein's statue was taken down in Baghdad. And at that point, the statues were removed.
The Health South case is now before an Alabama grand jury. The U.S. attorney in Birmingham is likely trying to get an indictment against Richard Scrushy. If she succeeds, Scrushy would be among the first CEOs to be charged with a crime in the post-Enron era. Politicians and prosecutors are keen to show the public that white-collar crime doesn't pay. They haven't been able to do that yet at the top levels of Enron, WorldCom, or other companies that have been tainted by fraud.
Yeah. This is my book of memories, let me tell you. So, I have a ton of it. This is Harry Belafonte's, Sherry Belafonte's daughter. Well, Cindy Crawford. it was another. Of course, this is Martha Stewart, who was at the wedding. This is Martha Stewart here.
We're feasting our eyes on the lush rolling hills around photographer Lynn Kenny's front porch and on his fat photo albums. They show how easily Richard Scrushy moved between the worlds of entertainment, politics, and high finance.
Let's get into the politicians section. Colin Powell, this is John Sununu. This is Dan Quayle, who came in to be in a golf tournament with Richard as one of Richard's guests.
Kenny says Scrushy is a charismatic man. He says he can understand why, if Scrushy was directing the fraud, his underlings kept quiet about it for so long.
I think that their loyalty to Richard was unquestionable. I think they loved him as they did the company. And who wouldn't want to be successful when you've got a leader like Richard Scrushy? He is a taskmaster, and he expected a lot out of you. But in return, you got the benefits of riding his coattails. Gosh, I can tell you, I had the lifestyle of a multimillionaire with the limos, the planes, and all the toys without having to buy any of it, thanks to him.
Scrushy's lieutenants will have to give up the money they made because of the fraud. Almost all will do time in jail. They're hoping for leniency in exchange for cooperation with the government. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Birmingham.